Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about Christian philosophy. And I'm taking this teaching from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And I've already done 2 days worth of introduction on this. Basically, I'm saying that the word philosophy means the way we think, or a system of thought. And whether you realize it or not, you have a philosophy. Now, this isn't a word that we use, and so a lot of people think, "Oh, no, I'm not a philosopher like Plato or Socrates or any of these guys." But no, every one of us have a way of thinking. And this way that we think determines our actions and reactions. Now, I've basically for 2 days been trying to validate that from Scripture. But it is absolutely true. And whether you realize it or not, you have a philosophy. And this verse is warning us that Satan is going to come against us and try and steal from us what Jesus has purchased through philosophy, through the way we think. And most people aren't aware of how our thinking has been influenced by this world system and even by religious tradition. And we have wrong thinking, and that's the reason that we're getting wrong results, wrong actions. And so we've got to establish what is a Christian philosophy, a Christian way of thinking. You know, before I get into this other scripture I want to go to today, let me use an example that back in the 1980s, I went to Poland a number of times. This is before the Berlin Wall came down, and Poland was still under communist rule. And I remember when I went there, of course, I was wearing my boots and I had on my American clothes. And the moment I open my mouth and start talking, it doesn't matter if I try and speak in the native language of wherever I am, it comes out with a Texas twang. And so anyway, everybody just could tell I was an American and people were pointing things out. And I wanted to get out and just kind of blend in and get a feel for what was going on with these people. So I borrowed clothes from my interpreter. I was wearing his tennis shoes instead of my boots. I wore his clothes. And I knew if I opened my mouth that I'd give away that I was an American. So I didn't say anything. And I just stood on the street corner wearing their clothes, not saying anything. And within 5 minutes, I had a crowd around me of young kids, little kids, adults going, "American, American." And they all knew I was an American. And I was wearing their clothes. I didn't say anything. And they could still tell that I was an American. So I went back inside and I asked our interpreter, who it was his clothes that I'd borrowed and everything. I said, "How do these people know I'm an American?" And he says, "It's your attitude." And I said, "What do you mean my attitude? I didn't say anything. I didn't express anything." And he says, "You don't understand. We've lived under communism for over 70 years. He says, "We were taught to be afraid and to be oppressed. And he says, there's things that you just learn. He says, for instance, the person you're talking to could be KGB. And so as a result, they never made eye contact. They would never look at a person eyeball to eyeball because you can tell a lot by looking in a person's eyes. And so they would always glance away and glance down. They would never make direct eye contact. You would never walk with your shoulders square and standing and looking up. You'd never look up at the sky. You would never whistle. You would never smile at a person as they walked by because that could draw attention to you. You tried to be as inconspicuous as possible." And he began to teach us how that you had to look down. You had to have your shoulders stoop. In a sense, you know, your body language was showing submission. And I was none of those things. I was standing on the street corner, and even though I was wearing their clothes, I was looking up. When people walked by, I would nod my head and smile at them. And I looked happy. And he says, "You have the attitude of an American." And, you know, I was really shocked by this because I wasn't aware of how Americans, you know, there's things about Americans that aren't good, but Americans as a whole are optimistic. Americans do have a positive outlook. We have a can-do attitude. I know that this friend of mine, he goes over to the UK often, and he's a millionaire, and he speaks on business type stuff. And he was invited over, and during a question and answer session, they asked him, they said, why do American businesses prosper more than English businesses that have the exact, you know, same type of business and things like this? And he says it's because of an attitude. He says Americans have a can-do attitude about we look for ways to make things work, whereas the British typically look for all of the reasons that it can't work. Now, again, those are generalizations, and there's exceptions on both sides of this, but I'm just saying that Americans have an attitude, and they come across often as being arrogant and things like this, and there's positives and negatives. I'm not saying that this is all right or wrong, but I'm just saying that I was shocked how I had an attitude that even though I never opened my mouth and even though I wasn't wearing American clothes, that attitude came across in just my body language. You know what that is? That's a philosophy. And after going over in behind the Iron Curtain a number of times before the Iron Curtain came down, before the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, I am firmly convinced that you could have taken a person who we consider a failure in the United States, and if you could have just translated him into one of those communist countries where there was all this oppression and stuff, a person who would be considered a failure in the United States would have been stood out like a healed thumb in that communist country because of his positive can-do attitude. Now, some of you may disagree with that because maybe you haven't traveled and seen it, but those of you who've traveled know exactly what I'm talking about, especially if you ever had contact with any of these communist countries before the Berlin Wall came down and stuff. There is a philosophy that we have, and there's good and there's bad to it, but I'm saying that whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you do have a philosophy, and this philosophy is like a filter that determines how you're going to react to problems. It determines your actions. Your philosophy, as you think in your heart. That's Proverbs 23:7. It doesn't use the word philosophy, but I believe that when you're talking about thinking on a heart level, you're talking about your philosophy, your system, your way of thinking, your paradigm. And as you think in your heart, that's the way that your life is going to be. Your life is right now the way you have thought it to be. Now, some of you may disagree with that and say, no way, man, I'm divorced, I'm in failure, I'm in bankruptcy, I'm sick, I'm all of these things, and I didn't think that. You may not have sat there and have thought, I want to be divorced, I want to fail, I want my investments to fail, I want to be sick. You may not have thought that, but you have been thinking in ways that make you susceptible to all of that stuff. For instance, you could have just been thinking, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. Instead of thinking who you are in Christ and that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, instead you've been just thinking that you're a nobody and that you're nothing, and so therefore you weren't able to withstand the attacks that came against you. But I can guarantee you, just like the scripture says, as you think in your heart, on a heart level, the way your philosophy is the way your life is going. If you want to change your life, you're going to have to change your philosophy. Let me use another scripture. This is out of Acts chapter 17 and in verse 18. This word philosophy that was used in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, it was only used one other time in scripture, and that's right here in Acts chapter 17 verse 18. And it says, then certain philosophers, it's the same word, of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he presented unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And I'm using my Life for Today Bible commentary on the book of Acts. I know that many of you aren't aware of what this is, but I've written a Bible commentary and actually printed it. And these are some of my study notes that are in this Life for Today Bible commentary. And I just want to read this to you because this is the research that I did on these philosophies of the Epicureans and the Stoics. And I believe that if you can understand what this is talking about, you'll see that this is exactly true today. We still have people with these same philosophies. You may not use that terminology, but there's people that still think this same way that's recorded right here. So here's the research that I did on this. The Epicureans were so named after the philosopher Epicurus. He was born in 341 B.C. and taught for 38 years in a school that is founded in Athens. He did not believe in a creator, believing that everything just happens. You know, in a way, you could say that the people who are the evolutionists today are Epicureans. It's the exact same philosophy. This isn't brand new. This is the same philosophy that started in 341 B.C., and he believed that things just happened. It says, however, he did believe in multiple gods, which took no part in human affairs. And here's the crux of his philosophy. It says he taught that pleasure was to be pursued and pain avoided. Regardless of how pure Epicurus' motives may have been, it was not long before the Epicureans, that is the followers of this doctrine, had degenerated into a materialistic, pleasure-seeking sect. And this was the exact opposite of the Stoics that were mentioned later. So here's what Epicurus believed and taught. This was his philosophy, that pleasure was everything. Just go out and have a good time, whatever it cost you, that's the end result of everything. Everything is just defined by how much pleasure you get, and pain is to be avoided at all cost. Did you know we still have people that basically this is their philosophy? It might be expressed a little bit differently, but there are people that I guarantee you it is all about them just having fun and having a good time, and it's all about pleasure. Now, my philosophy that is based, I believe, on Scripture is very different than that. You know, the dominant thing in my life is, number one, I want relationship with God, and I want to know God. And if me having a relationship with God meant that He led me to do something that wouldn't give me pleasure, that instead would cost me and hurt me, you know what? I have a philosophy that pleasing God is more important than pleasing myself. Now, see, this is a philosophy that I believe is based on Scripture, and it's completely contrary to this thing about just enjoy yourself and have pleasure at all cost. There's a lot of people that today it is all about, they are going to get the biggest house they possibly can. They're going to have the biggest boat, the biggest car. They are going to indulge every sense that they've got there. That is their philosophy, is about get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. Another philosophy that I believe is based on Scripture is that, no, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That Jesus said this, that a man's life in Luke chapter 12 does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Man, there is something more important than me having all of these things, and that is people are more important than things. I want to make my life count. To me, that's a more dominant philosophy than about having pleasure and taking care of myself. And the second part of Epicurus' philosophy was that he said, avoid pain at all cost. You know what? I believe that sometimes pain is necessary to accomplish something good. For instance, freedom, which America was based on. Freedom. Did you know that people have died and bled and given their life? There has been lots of pain in order to provide us with freedom today, for me to be on television and to be saying what I believe is to be correct, and I don't have to be afraid of somebody coming and censoring me. There's people that died and gave their life to be able to do this. There was pain along the way. And see, if you had a philosophy like Epicurus that, no, it's just all about you and it's just enjoy yourself and it's have pleasure at all cost and avoid pain, then that kind of a philosophy leads people to put their head in the sand and to ignore things. You know, I just got back from a trip to Holland and to Belgium and to Luxembourg. And I was over there and I saw the memorials at the Battle of the Bulge. I saw a American cemetery at Luxembourg where Patton was buried. And I've just had some of these things refreshed in my mind. And I tell you, there was tremendous sacrifice. Did you know that there was 10 times as many American soldiers killed at the Battle of the Bulge as there was on the day of Normandy, the invasion of Normandy? 10 times as many. It was actually one of the largest battles of World War II. People paid big time. Huge sacrifice was made so that we could have freedom. Now, see, people who have the Epicurean philosophy about, avoid pain, avoid any kind of cost, you know, regardless, just never do that. Well, those are the people that put their head in the sand when Hitler began to start expanding, when he could have been reined in with relative ease. These people just chose to think, oh, no, let's avoid conflict. Let's not do this. They wouldn't sacrifice. They wouldn't face any pain. And because of it, the world was plunged into a world war, and millions and millions and millions of people suffered because some people had a philosophy that was, oh, let's just avoid this. Let's ignore all of these warning signs. We've got people with the exact same philosophy. The Epicureans are still alive and well in the United States today and in Western Europe. There are people that are putting their head in the sands and ignoring the signs of people that are coming out against everything that stands for good and God and morality. And you know what? That's a wrong philosophy. It's proven. History has proven that that does not work. It's only principled people that have belief systems that they're willing to die for that ever have caused anything good to happen in history. And yet people are ignoring all of this because they are just so absorbed with, oh, let's have a good time. They don't want to get in and find out about politics. They don't want to find out who is right and who's wrong. They don't want to be involved because that might interfere with their Game Boy time, their video time. There are people that are just putting their head in the sand. They are indulging their flesh. And I tell you, that is a recipe for disaster. It's a wrong philosophy. And here's the Stoic philosophy. This is the exact opposite of the Epicureans. It says the name Stoic came from the Greek word stoa, which meant porch. This sect was so named because of its founder, Zeno, taught for about 58 years, 308 to 250 BC, in the marketplace of Athens from a porch, which the Greek word for porch was stoa. So they called them Stoics. The Stoic philosopher Seneca was a tutor to Nero and Marcus Aurelius, I think. I don't know how to pronounce that. A Roman emperor, and he was a devout Stoic. Stoics believed that a truly wise man would dominate his emotions so that they would never influence him positively or negatively. They accomplished this by believing that whatever happened was fate and therefore their lot in life. They taught a very frugal life, rejecting all luxury in food and clothing. Their philosophy was the opposite of the Epicureans. You know, the Stoics, in a sense, you could say it this way, the Stoics were the very first Vulcans. If any of you have ever watched Star Trek and Spock, a man who refused to allow his emotions any dominance, that basically was the Stoic doctrine. And we still use this word today when we talk about people and say that's a Stoic person. We're saying that it's a person who has their emotions under control and doesn't show very much emotion. Did you know that the movies of the of 25 or 30, 40 years ago, they used to portray the heroes were very stoic people that didn't just fall apart. But when tragedy hit, they would just grin and bear it. They would be stoic. They would control their emotions. We've come nearly full circle today to where now they are trying to portray that the true heroes are very vulnerable people, and they show them crying and they show them having all of this range of emotions. All of those are philosophies. There are people that believe that grief is something that you have to just vent and you have to let it out. There's other people who believe that you hold it in. I believe probably the proper philosophy is somewhere in between those two. But all of these are philosophies. And people are still expressing these same philosophies. They don't call themselves Stoics and they don't call themselves Epicureans, but there are people that still have this. Did you know that a lot of Christians today are stoic in their philosophy? Because it said here that one of the ways that they dealt with their emotions and stuff was to believe that everything was just fate and that this was preordained, and so therefore you don't respond one way or the other. There's nothing that you can do about it. It's just a submissive, accepting type of philosophy. Did you know that we have Christians today that are preaching this extreme sovereignty of God, that God controls everything? And so there's people that look at it that whoever's wins the election, it doesn't matter. It's all up to God. God controls that. If a person dies, it must have been God's will. If a person is raped or plundered or whatever, nothing could happen without God okaying it. And there are people that have a philosophy, a wrong philosophy, even a perversion of Scripture, that basically have this same philosophy and same approach towards life. Whether you admit it or not, you have a philosophy. And so by you saying, oh man, philosophy, who cares about this? And you just, let's not talk about this, let's go on to something else. You may not use the same word that the Scripture was using here in Acts chapter 17, 18, or in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. But whether you use that word or whether you say paradigm or worldview or dominant way of thinking or heart attitude or however it is that you want to express it, you do have a philosophy that dictates and controls how you react, how you think, how everything happens. And you know, this has answered a lot of questions for me, because I see people today doing things that I just cannot understand how a person could come to this conclusion. And it just boggles my mind. But as you go back and trace it back, you know, the reason that they come up with these conclusions, the reason they act the way they do is because their core philosophy, their core belief system has been corrupted. And if you don't believe that there's a God, and if you don't believe that we are accountable to Him, and if you think that your opinion is as good as the Bible's or as anybody else, and if you think that you are God, if you're one of those kind of people that it only takes one person to screw in a light bulb, you know why that is? Because you just hold it and the world revolves around you. If that's your philosophy, well, then that's going to lead you to decisions that are just as completely opposite mine as they can be. And I look at people and I wonder, how could they do this? It's because they have a completely different philosophy. My philosophy, it's probably not perfect, but as much as I possibly can, I have tried to base my philosophy, my way of thinking, my whole paradigm and worldview on what God's Word has to say. And you know what? There's not a lot of people that are taking that approach today. And they think that the world revolves around them, and so therefore, they're free to do anything. And they go out and they just, they react to things completely differently than I do. They do things. They have a totally different outlook on life because of the core values that I hold. And you know what I'm trying to do? I am trying to influence people to go back to the Word of God and adopt the godly core values. And if everybody would use the same philosophy, if we had the same values that we held dear, then you know what? We would come into agreement over here. But until we get the same philosophy, there's going to be this division that we see so pronounced today. You know, I'm out of time today, but I've got a lot more to share on this, so I'm going to continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in, and also please listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive these materials on Christian philosophy.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The first teaching in the CD album titled The Way We Think is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP1C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you I know are being touched by these programs, and you're realizing that, man, you know, I need to reevaluate. I need to make sure that my philosophy is a Christian philosophy. Well, of course, these materials that we're going to offer you will help. But really, everything that I teach, our whole, everything that God has ever shown me is a part of establishing this Christian philosophy. And the most in-depth way I have of sharing the things that God has shown me from the Word of God is through our Charis Bible Colleges. You know, we not only have the facility here in Colorado Springs, but we have Bible colleges spread throughout the world. We have correspondence course. There's a lot of ways you could take advantage. So please call the number that you see on your screen and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas this week for a men's conference August 28th and 29th and at Agape Church on August 30th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at the Charis Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte, to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
We need to let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. We need to let God be true and every philosophy of this world a lie. We need to let God be true and even our upbringing a lie if it violates what God says. We need to let God be true and even the religious teaching and instruction that we've got be a lie in comparison.